So, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Aribo. I wanted to tell you today a very, very, very important tool to which you have to learn if you want to make most out of this retreat. And in fact, as you are listening, I will introduce the tool to you, and then we will have a ceremony which will help you to bring the tool home with you and use it for the rest of your time. But I also want to say that it was a great, great pleasure for me to be with you. I'm also exhausted because it takes some mental energy to move you, and I could see towards the end you needed a little extra energy because you had worked hard enough and you were tired. Well, I want to first of all tell you bad news. When you return home to your ordinary lives after the retreat, there will be someone knocking at your door. And you will say inside, "Oh no, I hope it's not him. No, we don't need you any longer. No!" Then finally, you open the door, and there he is, with his friends, an old habit. And he said, "You thought it was so easy to get rid of me? You just go on a retreat in Krishna Avanti school, and I will never ever bother you again. My dear so-and-so, don't be naive. What is about this? And what is about that?" And you will succumb after some time to bad chanting habits. You will think, "Now I'm free from the rubber, from the complaint-free rubber band." You will complain again. You will fill your mind with negativity of all sorts. All this is something which could happen and which will most probably happen. I think some of you can't wait to go back to their old habits. They have already planned the new video from the video shop, and they have already. My dear devotees, these are the bad news. You may have made a special experience, I hope you did, but your old habits are also there. They are also there. And they have become ingrained within you. I would like to make a little experiment with you to show you how powerful habits are. Please fold your arms. Are you comfortable, or is it maybe the other way around? Find the most comfortable position for folding the arms. For me, it's this. You're comfortable, Nitya Charan? Quite comfortable. Pradyumna, this is how you. Yes. Priya, comfortable? You say, "Better I don't say anything." Now, who is like me, right hand over left elbow and left hand over right elbow? Shivani, how are you folding? just left over right or left over right? Pradyumna, how is it with you? Right over left. Now I wish that you change the position. Shivani is not so expert in. How do you feel now? Uncomfortable. Strange. Strange, huh? Mixed emotions. Now I bet you, I hope that's a correct English way, that you never actually pay attention how you fold your arms. You do it out of habit. But when you break the habit, when you do something new, you feel uncomfortable. This is a little proof how strong habits are, how they inform our activities, and not just our activities, habits inform also our thoughts, the way we think, the way we react to certain things. Like I have one younger brother. Now, whenever he hears one word, he just bam, explodes. It's authority when he hears that word. because he is in the habit of reacting in a resentful way towards the concept of authority. He can't help, but he reacts in a very predictable way. Habits form about 90% of our lives. They inform the way we act. They inform our eating habits, our walking habits, even our sleeping habits. Like I sleep on the back, but I hear many people sleep either on the right side or the left side. Habits inform the way we think. In Sanskrit, habits are called sanskaras, or deep impressions. And the example which is given is when you have river water flowing, that river water will always follow the course of the riverbed. It never flows in another way. So our life, the flow of our life, follows our sanskaras, or deep impressions. And that's what we call in Western language habits. They form our life, follows our habits. Now the bad news, I already said to you, that those habits will come at your door, or will come into your life, and it will be very difficult for you to resist. Maybe one day, maybe 2 days, but then again you will return back to your habits, both in chanting, both in living, in complaining, or tolerating, and so on. The good news are that habits, or new habits, can be easily formed. By doing something persistently over a period of 30 to 40 days, new habits can be formed. Therefore, in our spiritual tradition, we have month-long auspicious we have auspicious months, like the months of Purushottam month, the Kartik month, or we have practices like going on parikrama. I can think of the Braj Mandal Parikrama. Who of you has attended the Braj Mandal Parikrama? Only one, three. Oh yeah, it's something I can recommend you. On a Braj Mandal Parikrama, you walk the holy places in Vrindavan, and all day you hear about Krishna and you chant his holy name. Have you completed the entire parchment? Part of it. Hmm? 20 days. In old times, one would go for these 40 days on Braj Mandal Parikrama and return a changed person. Why a changed person? Because one has taken on new habits. Whenever you do something persistently over a longer period of time, and somehow they say 40 days, that's how our human psychology works, 30 to 40 days, then you have brought a new habit into your life. I really request you to take with you from this retreat a new habit in regards to chanting. We know that like no other spiritual practice, the practice of chanting the holy name informs our life. Do you sometimes know when you have chanted nice rounds how good your day is? And have you noticed how when you don't chant such nice and good rounds, how you're easily irritated? People get on your nerves. The smallest things make you explode and so on. Have you noticed in your life? Chanting is really nothing less than associating with Krishna. And if you know how to chant nicely and correctly and associate nicely with Krishna, my dear devotees, things which are almost impossible become very easy for you to do. Very easy. Today someone asked me, what do I do when I'm in trouble? And I said, well, you need to take shelter at that time at Krishna's lotus feet, because it's very difficult to change your life in any other way than just taking shelter and relying on Krishna. So if you want to change your life, change your habits. Or saying it differently, if you don't change your habits, you will not change your life. It will be the same again and again. So my humble hope, this is not the right word. My hope is that you have experienced from during the Japa retreat something, and that you could maybe form a new habit from this. Now, may I know, who of you has no notebook and no pen? One person only? Two persons? Oh, you didn't take notes. There's no problem. I just want to see. So I suggest a little that those who have not... Can I have a... See, you don't have to be shy to say I didn't take notes. It's not required to take notes. But I just want to... I need to know now to see, to give you your different tasks. Who of you has no paper and pen at this moment? So I request the boys who have no paper and pen to get together, maybe in that corner. It is, once again, you look at me like, oh, I have no paper and no pen. No problem. It's not a school. It is a school. But Hare Krishna. So would you please go to the... And the Matajis, please team up with the non-paper Mataji, if there is another non-paper Mataji. Here are two non-paper Matajis. Good. Please team up. And I will now give you a task. Those of you who have paper and pen, I request you to do a little free writing exercise. That is, I give you I ask you a question, and then what you do is, Burijan Prabhu has very nicely introduced it, you just write. The rule is keep on writing. Even if you say, I don't know what to write. Write down, I don't know what to write. And you will see, as you keep on writing, that you will access deeper areas of your unconsciousness or subconscious mind, and something wonderful will come out. So the boys, the non-paper boys, they will build teams of two, and they will discuss the question which I will ask the others to free write about. But please don't speak as loud as the sheriff of Leicester would speak. Speak softly so that the others can concentrate. So would you do me a favor, the non-paper boys, to turn to a neighbor and choose a neighbor now? And the non-paper Matajis, please turn. You found a paper and a pen. Good. So are you all set? Non-paper boys? Yes. Good. You all know what you should do? My question to you is, free writers and free discussioners, during the retreat, review the retreat and then tell me what struck you. It's either a point which was made, or it's a realization like, oh my God, I have to start chanting finally, you know, after 10 years I should get... What struck you? It can be one point, it can be many points. We are looking for something which touched our heart, which made us... Look, maybe it was an experience, maybe you went out under a tree and you chanted, or you saw someone chanting. What struck me? What struck me is really the question. I will leave you 5 minutes for this, so, and keep on writing. No one will see what you write. So, thank you very much. There was something which struck you, which moved you, which came into your world, which engaged your mind, which was something not really ordinary, which was of the extraordinary quality. This is a good point to keep in your mind. We will go now a little bit further. I want to move you towards our little ceremony, the Sankalpa ceremony, and want to explain to you what we are now going to do. This session is called also called Welcoming Your Gift. See, during this time, something came into your life which was new, which is a gift. And because we had a spiritual retreat, it was a spiritual gift, a gift which Krishna put into your life and which we want to now identify a little bit. I will soon have a ceremony with a few brahmanas here, where we will request all of you to come forward to the altar and then make a sankalpa. What is a sankalpa? Sankalpa is something like an intention or an inner orientation which you should be able to formulate and take with you into your life. It will be your gift. A sankalpa or an intention is something which can really save your life or which can help your life in a spiritual to make spiritual progress. I want to give two examples. It's one example how a sankalpa can change your life, and the second example how a sankalpa can change your whole spiritual life. Once two frogs fell into a big, large container of cream. The first frog swam a little, but then understood there is no way for me to escape because the walls of that large container of cream are made from stainless steel and I won't be able to have any hold and jump to freedom. So he gave up and he died. The other frog had a strong sankalpa to live. I will somehow or other escape. I will live. There is no impossible for me. And he started to swim very vigorously. And in this way, the cream became whipped cream, rose to the edge of the container, and the frog, who was now covered with an attractive white hood, could jump into freedom and lives happily. This is an example how an inner orientation, I will live, informed the activities of frog number two, and how a novel situation was created in which he was ultimately saved. I want to give you now an example how an inner orientation or an intention can help someone advance spiritually. Not a little while ago, in the year 2000, maybe I have to ask Anjana and Krishna Vallabha, when was this Puri Yatra of Radhanath Maharaj? Which year? 2006. In the year 2006, I was invited with some devotees to come to Radhanath Maharaj's Puri Yatra, and I do remember that there was a god brother of mine who was a photographer. He made excellent photographs of the whole event and was a trained professional photographer. And I asked him at the beginning why he did come to this Puri Yatra and what was his intention. And he said, Maharaj, I'm so attached and I want, materially attached, and I want to learn in this Puri Yatra to become detached and totally depend on Krishna. Now, this was his intention. On the same Puri Yatra, there was a man from Orissa who came to the Ratha Yatra ceremony with another intention. He wanted to steal, preferably Western currency. So the two of them met, my god brother and the thief from Orissa. They were at the same venue, the Ratha Yatra, but my god brother wanted to become detached from material things and learn to depend on Krishna, and the thief wanted to steal a lot of money. It was on Hema, no. You know, when the carts had reached the destination before Gundicha, my godbrother, I forgot his name, came to me and said, Maharaj, I lost all my money and my passport. One thief must have stolen it. And he was a little bit upset. Then 1 hour later, I met him with a big smile. He had a big smile on his lips. I asked him, "You are smiling?" He said, "Maharaj, I'm so grateful to Lord Jagannath. I came here with the intention to lose my material attachments and to learn to become dependent on Krishna. And Krishna has responded. He has taken all my money, and now I'm dependent on Krishna to get my passport and to go back to America." See, his intention was to become spiritually advanced, and his intention informed his stay in Puri and how he reacted. The thief also had an intention. He went to Ratha Yatra to get a lot of money, and he got, I think it was 3,000 American dollars, which at that time was quite a handsome amount of material attachments, of money. So, my dear devotees, you get out of life whatever is your sankalpa, whatever is your intention. It's mystical. Intention is the essence of free will. You have freedom, you have a free will, and you can now decide what will you do with it. What is your intention? And if you are clear on your intention, unless it is really your karma is totally opposed to this, you will get what you intend to get. Really. I have seen people who have come to my retreats to get a clue how to become more successfully materially by becoming more mentally focused. And they took the concentration exercises which we did in relationship to the Holy Name and reported to me afterwards. They went into their ordinary life and they made a fortune because they had learned to concentrate the mind. Others have said that they made a lot of spiritual advancement. You know, whatever you intend to do, it informs your free will, and when you are clear what you want, Krishna, who is sitting in the hearts, in your heart since immemorial time, will fulfill your desire. The problem with most of our young devotees is they are not yet clear what they want. They are in two minds, in three minds, some of them are in 100 minds. And therefore, the life is a little bit sprayed out. But once you formulate a sankalpa, an intention, my dear devotees, and Krishna becomes aware of that, he will fulfill it. Krishna sits as a super soul next to the living entity. And just like a man can smell, or a woman can smell the fragrance of a nearby rose, Krishna becomes aware, as Paramatma, of your intention when it's strong enough. He just picks it up. And there is the shloka, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. From all the eternal beings, there's one supreme eternal being. He is called the Lord. And Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. Since time immemorial, he has been engaged in fulfilling the desires of the many. This is how it works. When you have an intention that is a strong desire, Krishna, seeing this, will help you to fulfill it. Unless, I must say, unless there is a desire which is just not meant to be fulfilled. Like I have the desire to take over the world with Krishna consciousness, but up till now it's not yet fulfilled, but I keep on desiring. Maybe Krishna one day decides it's time. But I had other sankalpas where I was personally very, very much surprised. For instance, I always wanted to teach a retreat in England, a japa retreat, and somehow Krishna fulfilled this desire of mine, and I could at least teach half a retreat. Usually it takes longer. This is 2.5 days, and so on. So my request now is that you turn to your neighbor, everyone. Keep in mind what you got out of the first exercise, what struck you, and then maybe based on this or independent from it, as you want, talk to your neighbor what you could take with you from this retreat into your japa practice. It may take a little time to think or to talk yourself into churn the subject matter. But what we are looking here in the second exercise is a new habit. Maybe you would say, okay, I like to chant after, and what I want to do is I don't want to interrupt my rounds. See, I made one sankalpa, it's one of these here, and I said, one japa retreat, I said, after one japa retreat, oh, I'm tired of always interrupting my conversation with Krishna. Whenever I start chanting around, I will finish it, no matter in what situation I am. And I've almost always kept this sankalpa. I'm surprised. I just let everything wait, the world wait, until I have finished that round. It's only 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes or 4 more minutes. And I found that Krishna was genuinely pleased or is genuinely pleased with me. How do you feel when you talk with someone and all of a sudden that someone gets a telephone call with a mobile telephone and then he starts for a long time talking about the weather and about preparations, which one could eat, or ways to decorate the bed, or other important things, and you feel he's letting me wait unnecessarily. He cares more for that person. So I have made this type of sankalpa, and it serves me very well. Others have made sankalpas that they would like to get up 15 minutes earlier each day and chant two more rounds before they go to the university or to work. Others have made sankalpas that they would chant 16 rounds. These were people who had not yet given their vows. And like this. So we are looking now for something which you could do. Something. It's only maybe some little things. You could, for instance, make the sankalpa. Okay, I will keep on chanting the same amount of rounds which I do now, but my sankalpa is that I will give my best to chant these rounds as attentive as possible. That's a good sankalpa. It doesn't have to be something so dramatic as you would say, I from this day on will chant 64 rounds each day. It doesn't, and it's not good to make such a sankalpa when you won't do it, or when you only do it one day and then leave it and not do it for the second or third and so on days. So kindly speak with your neighbor and see and discuss what you can do to what can be your sankalpa. And then, after this, I will invite five brahmanas to come with me, and then we will do a ceremony. We will request all of you to come forward, and to, while facing our beautiful deities, we will request you to make the sankalpa, and we will chant some mantras and do everything very brahminically, and then give you, and then you will be able to take a sankalpa home, a firm new habit, which will change your life for the better. So when I said welcoming the gift, it's now where we have to do the work to see what we want to do as a sankalpa. One little tip, as you now will discuss first with your neighbor or with a friend of yours, sometimes it's not good to pronounce your sankalpa out loud. The power goes. So you can indirectly say it. For instance, let us say you are now chanting 16 rounds a day and you would like to add an extra round or two extra rounds to your japa, your daily quota. Then you might say something to your neighbor. I feel inspired to add to chant extra rounds. You may be vague about it. You may not say two rounds or one round. Just you may say I'm inspired to chant rounds. You understand? So, but sometimes it also helps when you are with someone to really tell what you want to do. Like I remember I had when I was preaching for a long time this habit of, sometimes I chanted not all my 16 rounds on one day when it was like the hectic day where I had to give four lectures a day and talk with the universe. So then I carried over two rounds to the next day. And I somehow didn't feel very good about it. So when we did a sankalpa forming discussion on one of our retreats, I said to my neighbor, I will stop this habit of carrying rounds until the next day. I will give my level best to chant all my rounds. And if it does happen, then that is an absolute exception. You know, like that. And it helped me that I pronounced this, I spoke it out to someone, because at least a German doesn't like to lie. I don't know. I think no human being likes to lie, isn't it? We want to be truthful. So now sometimes I came into a situation where I said, oh, it's 11:30 and I have two more rounds. I can do them tomorrow. Then I remembered, no, you told during your sankalpa forming discussion, you said you would stop this. Now don't lie. Don't prove yourself a liar. Now use the time to just chant the two rounds. It's also better for good dreams, you know. So it sometimes helps to pronounce it. You have to decide how much you will reveal. But in general, it does help when you speak it out to someone, because you don't want to do this. This is a very serious exercise, and we will take 10 minutes for this. So the question is, what new habit in regards to chanting would you like to take home from this retreat? Anyone has found a neighbor? Good, it seems. Start now.